Brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. At GloryGiftStore.com, we offer the very latest in quality Christian supplies, from DVDs and books to Bibles in every translation, communion, jewelry, T-shirts, clergy robes, and even homeschooling supplies are also available. GloryGiftStore.com, where you'll find everything to meet your Christian needs. So stop by GloryGiftStore.com today. That's GloryGiftStore.com.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is another day, Choose to Joy broadcast. He brought me out with this shout, number 3. And shout out to GloryGiftStore.com. Make sure you stop by there today by the website. And if you type in Choose to Joy, all one word in the promotional code, you get 15% off. Saw a guy yesterday with a shirt on. Shout out to Stacey Floyd. Had the shirt on from the website, and he looked good. It's one of the best shirts I've ever seen in my life. So stop by the other day if you get a chance. Got a special guest again. Praise God. Miss Gigi Arledge. We didn't finish with her last Friday. Let me see if I can get you on here. All right. Miss Gigi, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And we let's just hop right in. And then last week we left off that you was at your at Bible school in Ohio in the cornfields. And by this time you had graduated and you were just trying to figure out what to do with your life, and I guess just being around what I like to call church folks, you kind of got offended, and you just saw yourself start to backslide. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Start to backslide. And how long were you in Ohio?
Well, I was in Ohio for about 7 years. So I went to Bible college for 2 years, graduated. Like I told you last time, you know, didn't know what I was going to do, thought I was going to start preaching crusades. That didn't happen. And, you know, I was like, well, praise God, what am I going to do? So I got an opportunity to work at the ministry, and I worked there probably up until about 2006 or 7, I can't exactly, the end of 2006, 2007. At that time, the Lord spoke to me, you know, specifically not to leave, and I left offended and hurt, and I went into like a 2.5 year, just a season of where I just totally went back, not back to drugs and all that, but just, you know, you're either hot or cold. I mean, just keep it real.
Right.
So I went back, and just because I was hurt and offended, I got my eyes off Jesus, got them on people, which is really one of the major tactics of the enemy, is to get people locked up in unforgiveness. And he does this all over the world, in marriages, in business.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting your eyes off of Jesus and how he loves you, and on people, because people are not your problem.
That's right.
So I went through that, you know, 2 year spell, and I was just, I felt like I had no God, no hope, just completely depressed.
And what's some
and
of the
so
things
rain
that she was, what are some of the things she was doing when you was in that backslidden season in your life?
Well,
you just going to the clubs, you was drinking?
Yeah, I just started going back. I mean, I didn't go back to, like, you know, smoking weed and everything, but I just was hurt, you know, so I just started working out.
Yeah.
Was training for bodybuilding competition, was training for fitness competitions, and, you know, just all about me, and just, you know, doing, just not living for God, not spending time in his presence, just completely didn't read my Bible, just totally, just was so hurt. You know, because I, you know, you look at people and you think they're supposed to be this way, and then they turn out, and that was me getting my eyes off Jesus, because people are never,
right.
Never, even no matter how, you know, much you look up to them, they're not the one to look to. Jesus Christ is the only one that walks perfect
right.
on earth and, you know, can love you. Praise God.
And
so
if somebody's in that position where they got on fire for God, and and maybe got hurt at a church or something on those lines, started backsliding, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, first, I mean, I love pastor's testimony, you know, how he came in the kingdom. And I believe it's important how you come in. But in that situation, I mean, the main thing is just getting your eyes back on how much he loves you, that he really loves you. And see, I didn't know that. I didn't get taught. And that's why it's so vital what we get taught, because I didn't get taught the new commandment, how to live in his love. And so when I was in that stage, I had to, God rescued me by sending rain, you know, to me, to love me with his love and not try to change me, you know. And I would just say, you know, turn and let him love you, you know, let him heal your heart and forgive those that have hurt you, because only the cross and his love can really forgive people, you know, and forgive you, you know. A lot of times it's yourself, like, you know, you feel like you should have did it and you didn't do it, and, you know, beating yourself up. Well, you know, praise God for the cross, what Jesus came for, to forgive us, you know. So just run to the cross and receive forgiveness and his love.
So you're kind of in this stage where you're just kind of backslidden. You're kind of depressed. You're trying to find your way, find yourself. And God sends a mighty man of God to you. How did you and Ray meet?
Well, at the time, I was, you know, I believe my heart started turning back. I was personal training with a guy named Arnold, and he was in my trainer. He said, GT, man, you need to go back to church. And I'm like, well, I ain't going back to church. Because, you know, after you leave, and then you know, for a year, and everybody kind of knows, you know, I just always felt like a hypocrite, you know, she's in the club, now she's going to come back. So I felt bad about going back to church because of what people would think about me. And that's really where the problem is. What are people going to think? Well, who cares what people think? I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, I mean, he died. It don't matter what people think, because he loves you no matter what people think. So he said, you need to go back to church. So I started going back. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go back to church. That was the first step, actually. You talk about, you know, obedience is the good doing the little thing that God tells you to do. And my flesh was like, did not want to go. But I just went back to World Harvest. I started sitting in church, you know, and literally short after that, one of my friends, Betsy, and she was like my best friend, still is my good friend here in Nashville. Her parents are pastors of the pastors of the church here in Nashville. And her sister, Kathy, knew Rain's roommate at the time. And that's kind of how we met. And she said, Gigi, you've got to meet this guy. Every time I see him, I think about you. And he works out, he's on fire for God or whatever. Because she knew me, you know, before all that happened. You know what I mean? We went to God together. And she said, you know, you've got to meet this guy. I'm like, no. I'm like, what does he do? She's like, oh, I don't know, but I know he's anointed. I'm like, no, because, you know, I was going to marry anybody that's ever a millionaire. That's how I thought. And so, she's like, I'm like, man, what does he do, girl? She's like, oh, I don't know what he does, but I know. I mean, yes, you do. You know what he does. And she's like, well, he actually works at, he's like a, works at, she didn't want to tell me, he's a banquet server. And I'm like, what? No, I don't know how to look at he is. Or what kind of anointing he has, I'm not, you know. But anyway, the Lord actually, you know, spoke to him, and he could show you his side, but how the Lord had spoke to him, you know. And I always prayed, Eric, that God would send me, because men always looked at, you know, me on the outside, you know, lust, and just, I always prayed, God, I thank you for sending me a husband. I prayed this, that would see me in the spirit before they get to see me in the natural, like in the physical.
Wow.
And Rain actually didn't even see a picture of me, and the Lord spoke to him about me, which was totally a miracle of God.
Wow.
Yeah, and he could share that whole story with you, how he heard about me and all that. But his friend kind of told him a story about me, and he said he couldn't get me off his mind for like a few days, and the Lord told him to come rescue me. And
so
it was the Lord.
He ended up coming up there to meet you for the first time, and what was that like?
Yes, I was mad. I was just like, man, I didn't praise God. I thought I was saved and everything. Still, even though I was in that, because I started going back to church, but I didn't have no wisdom, knowledge, nothing. So he came up to Ohio. He was trying to say that my friend Betsy, they were going to move her back to Tennessee. So they were kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, try to come up there with like an excuse to try to come see me, but whatever. So they came up there, and I did not want to see him. I was like, man, this is weird. I felt like it was like devil did not want me to get free. So anyway, I finally, he's like, well, let's meet at this coffee shop. So I go, I was like, all right. So I called all my friends to meet him at this coffee shop. And I pulled up, and they were like taking videos of me and on my car. I was like, this is weird, you know. because his friend was a videographer. Well, anyway, I get out of the car, and he had this little shoe bag, this little gift for me. And I was like, oh, my God. Wow, sooner or later, I didn't know it was probably like his grandma's something from his grandma. He saved, you know, from back in the day. But I was like, praise God. There's a lie. He tricked me. The Lord, not him, but the Lord hooked me to get me here through a course of interesting events. But I looked at him. I'm like, man, he is cute. Man. I could see the glory of God on him. But I was still like, I knew he was really walking with God. And at this time, I wasn't. So I still kind of felt condemned, you know, by his lifestyle. So, but.
And so.
Praise God.
How did it come to the point where, how long did it take you to get to Nashville? I mean, did you move down here for him? Or?
Well, what happened was, okay, so that happened, and then he came over. I told you the story, you know, he came over, whatever. So I was like, okay, God, I know at least if this is my husband, you need to, because I am not. There's no way. And then that's when he went back to Tennessee, and that night the Lord told me, I was out that night. I still was, like, not living for God. I was out. I think I drank some wine or whatever. I called him, but he didn't pick up. The next day, this is what, he changed my life. The next day he called me back. He said, man, what'd you call me so late for? And I was like, well, I was like, you know what? You know, Eric, I was like, I'm going to be honest. Because, you know, I was just not going to lie to him. Because I was just, like, not going to fake it. You know, I could fake it really deep, you know, like, oh, glory to God, you know, and still be in darkness. But I'm like, I'm not going to fake it. I said, Ray, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm going to be honest. I said, share my story. I said, look, I got hurt, offended. I know I'm hurt. And I said, I went back into the world, and I had been drinking, and I told him everything. And what set me free is what he told me. He said, Regina, he said, Jesus still loves you. And, dude, I didn't think he loved me still. And his love is what set me free that day. It was like November 7th or 8th, 2008. He spoke those words, dude, Brother Eric. And for 3 hours, I just wept and cried in the presence of God that he loved me. And he redeemed me. Because I felt so gone because I was so hurt. And then I thought, you know, most Christians, after you tell them you've been out club drinking and then, they're just going to be like, well, forget about you. You know, I'm moving on. You know, I don't want no girl like that, but he didn't. Dude. He said, Jesus loves you. And those words had so much power and anointing on them that, dude, it set me completely free, man, that day. I mean, free to come back in a relationship with the Father. You know?
And you just got to the point where you didn't even know that God loved you at all.
Not at all, no. I just felt so, I didn't feel like I had a calling on my life. I just was so hurt. Like, I mean, when you get into darkness and you go back and you can ask people, I mean, you just feel completely helpless, hopeless. And, man, that's what I needed, just to hear the simple words that he loves you. You know, no one told me that. You know, people were condemning, judging, criticizing. No one said Jesus loves you still. And when he said that, man, it was like, wow, man, I just got free. I got completely, like, the powers of darkness just lifted and broke off me, and I wept for, like, hours. Mm. And it was on after that, you know.
So and after so, that, man, you, so you pretty much knew that you knew that he was your husband, or...
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I still didn't. I still didn't know. Well, before that happened, rewind real quick, when he was here, he's like, when the first time he saw me, he's like, man, the Lord told me that you're my wife. And I'm like, what? You know?
Wow.
So I was like, that's kind of bold. I never met you, but I'm looking at him. I'm like, he is really cute. But then I'm thinking in my head, no, he doesn't have money. He doesn't have money. You know, I can't marry him. So I was fighting. So I kind of knew in my spirit at that moment that it was, that he was, but I just didn't want to accept it yet. But then after the Lord set me free, I said, okay, well, I'm going to fast and pray. And so this is when God, I locked myself in the house, dude, and I just started crying out, repenting for all my sin, everything I've done wrong. I forgave, you know, starting to release people to forgive them from my heart, you know, and I was just, Lord, you've got to speak to me. This is my husband. You want me to marry this? You've got to speak to me. And he did. He spoke to me literally in my spirit on November 8th, 2008. I'll never forget it. And
wow.
I just, it's a long story, but the Lord actually really spoke audibly in my spirit. He said, I'm looking for people on this earth that I could show how big I am. And I picked you guys. And, dude, he's gave me a whole word. I wrote it down, everything. I fasted for 3 days, and God told me that he was my husband. And that's when I knew I was going to move to Nashville. And I just left everything. I put rent in my condo. The Lord told me, just go. And that's when I came. I didn't come. I went back to New Jersey, and my little sister's like, you need to go visit him, because I'd never been to Nashville to visit, you know, him and his family and everything. So I came to Nashville and visited, you know, Rain at that time. So.
And so you came to Nashville, and like I said, your family's real wealthy, and you come to Nashville,
yeah.
you got all this money, right? You to start
yeah.
your new life.
I had all this money. So my dad said, you know, I told my dad about it. My dad said, well, I don't know about that. You just got, you know, have all these other, you know, because I was just, I don't know. My dad's like, are you sure? He's like, he's not getting my inheritance. That's what he was telling me because he didn't really think I was serious, you know, because he knew I never
right.
really liked anybody. But they really wanted me to get married. My dad was, like, always trying to get me married because I was, like, a lot, big time, like, we got liability to him, you know. And so he was trying
yeah.
to get me married off. But I was like, all right, well, we'll see. So anyway, I was in New Jersey because it was, I think it was like, I don't know, to my sister's birthday, went home. But anyway, I flew to Nashville. I remember getting off the plane to go to visit, you know, to visit Rain. And he picked me up, whatever. And I thought, you know, he sent me this long video that this car was like black. I thought it was like a Mercedes-Benz. I thought he had a little bit of money, you know. He totally tricked me. So he picks me up, dude. He oversprayed his spray tan. He banged his finger, and then he tried to paint his nail and put a cross. I'm like, dude, this is weird. I was like, this is a weird. Then I walk out to his car from the airport, you know, and he has a Honda with no, his seats weren't even leather. I was like, dude, this is terrible. And then he had some kind of like revelation, something on his car. And I always didn't like that when people would put like stuff on their car. I just thought that
yeah.
was so like corny, religious. Like, are you kidding me? You know, you have Jesus something on your car. It's a Honda, a 1980. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to cry. You know, I'm like, he's definitely not my husband. So I get in the car, dude, and he actually, then I was so emotional, you know. I was just talking to him. So then he actually got me roses. And then he got me a gift, and it was actually a bottle of Chanel perfume. And I was like, oh, my gosh,
yeah.
he actually knows, he knows about Chanel. Well, it was like somebody's who, it was like his, you know, ex, whatever, grandmom's perfume that he saved or whatever. He didn't even go out and buy it. He hooked me with Chanel. And I thought, I'm like, man, he does know about something. But now I'm like, oh, man, this is hysterical. So I thought he was going to get me a hotel. Well, he didn't get me a hotel. He actually called me off to stay at Billy's house. And I was like, is this dude serious? I'm not. I'm going to stay with somebody. He didn't get me a room. So anyway, it was the Lord. I wound up staying with Billy and Alini. And I never got to – that's what really changed because I've never seen a godly marriage. And
right.
I saw their marriage, you know, and I was like, wow, like, this really can happen, you know. Because, you know, my dad told me if I keep myself, I have a blessed marriage. But I never seen nobody with no blessed marriage.
Right.
So I never even knew it existed. And then Billy and Alini, they were so happy. And so, you know, that's when I went to church. The first time I went to Jesus to Answer Church, dude, and I felt the presence of God, and I felt so liberated when I went to that church. I never felt the presence of God like that, like I did at that church.
Amen.
And praise God.
I didn't know. So when you first came down here, you stayed with Billy and Alini. How long did you stay with this?
Well, I just came to visit that weekend. You know, I came to visit.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to live with them, but
okay.
I just came to visit, you know, Rain, because I didn't move down yet. I didn't move down to Tennessee yet. But I
right.
went to stay with them or whatever, and then went to the church and just Pastor Scales. I just was like, wow, this is really real. And then Pastor Scales comes up to me and he's like, man, are you sold out? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sold out. I'm like, well, I guess I call those things Dinaza, they are. Praise God. But at that time, my heart was turning towards God, you know. So I did repent of all my sins. So I was like, well, praise God, you know. And that's when I just knew that church had something different. And then anyway, I'm trying to get through it all. I went back to a new, I came back, whatever. And then God just told me, I want you to move down there. And so I left everything in Ohio. And I told the Lord, though, this really quick before I left, the Lord, I'm not leaving until I get released from, you know, World Harvest Church. And Pastor Percy,
Amen.
Like, releases me. And at this time, it was going to be completely impossible because I haven't talked to them in, like, a year and a half or 2 years. But this is
right.
no joke. I believe having a release of your pastor before you leave somewhere. I believe just leave,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah.
so I stood up all night, Brother Eric, till 6 o'clock in the morning before church that day. I said, Lord, you've got to do something. If you want me to go to Tennessee and you want me to be at this other church, you've got to supernaturally release me from here. Because I was there for 7 years. So I
right.
prayed through the whole night. I'm not kidding, dude. I prayed in tongues. I prayed, I'm like, God, all night. I came to church that day. I felt the glory of God, the Holy Spirit so strong on me. And I walked thousands. I mean, it's like a 5,000-member church. It's huge. And so Pastor, the Spirit started moving. I start walking around the church, right? And I was all the way in the back, right? Just no joke. All of a sudden, and he never does this on a Sunday morning, I hear this from the pulpit, Regina, Regina. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's me. I knew it because I prayed through the whole night. I was like, God, this is God. I've got You know, I start running. You know, some other Reginas were trying to run up to the pulpit. And he's like, no, not that Regina. I'm talking about Regina. And, dude, I ran up, dude, to the front of that church on the platform. And he literally said, this is the last time I'm knocking hell off you. I release you. And he laid hands on me, dude. And I started crying.
Wow.
And, dude, I got completely set free. And that's when I knew that God was telling me to come to Tennessee. And I left that day. Like, I literally made arrangements to go because I knew until I got released I wasn't coming to Tennessee.
He said, and this is the last time I can lay hands on you?
He said, this is the last time I'm going to knock hell off you. He said, because he knew
I
was in bondage. He said,
okay.
Yes. And he said, I released you. And he prayed over me a couple others. He said, God has called you. He didn't bring you this far. He said, you're none of the, you know, you started speaking the word over me and prophesying and praying for me and, like, literally released me and laid hands on me. And, like, that's when I knew when he laid hands, I was released to leave, you know, because I was there
that
for so long.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Have you ever been able to tell Pastor Rod that?
I mean, I don't know if I ever, his daughter is my friend, but I don't know if I've ever really told him the whole story about everything. I mean, but what he did, that was the Lord. But I prayed through that whole night, the Lord, and I was like,
wow.
I'm not leaving until God releases me from that place.
How long were you in Nashville? Because I remember actually helping you move out of your, like, you had a loft apartment in downtown Nashville. It was nice. But how long were you in Nashville before you got married? Oh, we have lost. We have lost Regina. Gigi, call back if you get a chance. Gigi is such a blessing, and I don't know, maybe her phone call dropped. She might have ran out of battery, or her face might have hit the end button. But we've just been talking about her testimony, her story, and what we didn't bring up today, I'll try to catch you up before she calls back. Hopefully she'll call back soon. But she started out her life, well, she didn't start out, but when she turned around 10 or 11 years old, she got diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome. But here she is. I guess I can't recap. GG.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
What happened to you?
I don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to disconnect it from Glory
okay,
to God.
I was going to do a little recap before you. I knew you were going to call back, but let's keep it moving.
Okay.
How long were you in Nashville before you got married?
We were here. I was here for a year, and so I came here. Got a roommate at the time. I'm just going to shorten up the story. And you know, didn't ever know how to believe God for finances because I always had my dad. You know, I rolled up to Bible college in a brand new Jaguar. I'm like, yeah, I got faith, but no, I didn't have faith. I had a rich dad. Okay. So now I come to Tennessee, and it was the Lord actually at this time. I didn't know how to have a job. I didn't have anything, but I'm thinking at least I have my dad's Black American Express card. Well, anyway, I get there, like literally the second week I'm here, my dad calls me. He's like, dude, I heard from God. He told me to cut you off financially. I'm like, what?
Wow.
What are you talking
wow.
about? And I start crying, flipping out. I'm like, no, you need to go back. Make a long story short, he cuts me off financially. So now I'm sitting there completely, I cashed all my bonds. I lived off those. Now I'm broke. Everything's gone. So I'm sitting here, I'm looking at my Jimmy Choo's, all my Manolo Blahniks, all my shoes. I'm like, at least I have my shoes, you know. And at that moment, I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so materialistic. I've been so caught up in myself, you know. And then I went to church
yeah.
with Pastor Gail with Gigi. It was like that same day, the next day. He's like, man, you are on a high horse. The Lord is wanting to get you off that high horse, man, and get you out of yourself. You are all about yourself. And, dude, that's when stuff started breaking off me, dude. I started really seeing how selfish and how materialistic and how carnal I was, you know,
wow.
a Christian. And just cried out to God to set me free. And this is when I really start growing in faith because I always would hear people at Bible college like, man, I'm believing God for my rent, man. I need $100 more, you know, for my rent. And that's when I didn't understand. But then, I learned really quick what they were talking about. I had to pray for rent money, dude. I had oatmeal. I had no food, and I was too proudful to tell anybody. But I ate oatmeal for a whole month. I had no money at all until God spoke to this one kid to give me $20. And he gave me $20. I started crying. I was like, praise God. Oh, my God, $20. You know what I did? I took $12 of that, and I went to the tanning bed. And the other $8, I got peanut butter. I'm so carnal, I did. But, I mean, that's when I started growing in faith, really, to see God come through for me financially. I started selling my shoes out of my trunk, Prada shoes, man, for $50. Brand new $500,000 shoes out of my trunk. I was, oh, man, I still think about those on God, but I let him go in Jesus' name, praise God. I would sell those shoes, you know, out of my trunk for my rent payment. I never knew this. I never did this. I was like, are you kidding me? This is, damn, praise God, you know? Anyway,
wow.
Yeah, that was
so you
experience.
Really, the Lord made you use your faith a little bit when you before you got married, though.
Oh, yes. He had me use my faith majorly. And then there's a long, I mean, there's a lot to it, how God came through.
Oh, I know there is.
I would let you. But married.
So real
know,
quick.
Got married and, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because God speaks to you, tells you to move down here, and he speaks to Rain, says that's your wife, and so y'all get married, and it's just glorious because God told y'all to get married, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't glorious. And I know this is probably coming for that, and that's a whole nother story right there. But we got married. I was full of rebellion, didn't know how to submit to authority, you know, didn't know how to honor a man at all. And so here we are, we're married, our, you know, literally 30 days. And Pastor Skill said, you know, y'all. You need, really need more time, but if you stay close to me, I'll marry you guys, but you need to stay close. And he said, you all get married a little too soon. Y'all don't know how to love. Y'all aren't ready. We weren't ready because I had no clue how to submit to authority, how to submit to a husband. Come on now. I didn't know that. So I get into this marriage,
right.
And I'm like, dude, I thought this marriage was going to be roses and all this, like, you know, how the devil paints this picture in young girls' minds that it's supposed to be all about you. You know,
right.
It's all about you, how you feel. Let them, you know, and I got in this marriage and I got to all the frame. Live in his love for me and submit to authority. Because
yeah.
I was full of rebellion and I was miserable. And we were broke, you know, on food stamps, our first year of marriage. Man, it was terrible. I mean, come on, did Gigi rolling up in the food stamp office with a Jaguar and some Gucci heels? I was like, this is a nightmare. But that's what happens when you're rebellious. You're broke. You're busted. You're disgusted. You're miserable. You have no joy. I can preach on that for like 10 years right there, dude, because I'm so passionate about submission to authority, dude, because I've seen what it's done and what it's done in my life and my business. It's just quadrupled by getting the revelation of just submitting authority and doing it with joy, not just doing it out of motion, but really doing it because you love Jesus and
Amen.
His words.
Yeah,
you know,
you tripped me out. You said you get married and you always thought you were going to marry some NFL linebacker who had a whole lot of money.
Yeah, NFL linebacker. Yeah, I met Rainey Rue from Nolan's band. Rainey Rue, but dude, he was a blessing, dude. And I didn't know. I mean, and Pastor's like, yeah, he may not be rich, but he's rich towards God. And I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? I ain't getting me in my nose. I ain't getting nothing. Can't buy me no shoes. But it was the Lord because he wanted me to get off my stinking, nasty, disgusting self because I lived
right.
for myself for so many years, and I wasn't spiritual at all. I had no clue about hell, the reality of hell, the judgment seat of Christ. I had no clue about these things that my husband had a revelation on, and I'm so thankful now for him. And, you know, he is a man of God, and I'm very blessed and thankful for him because I would never be doing that today without him.
We're going to talk about how you what was the changing points in your life and in your marriage and just the changing point in both of you guys' marriage? But tell me, in that first year or two, what was the worst it got for you?
Oh, man.
Did you hit like a bottom point? Yeah.
Dude, yes. We were broke. Oh, gosh, there's so many worse places. Lord, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I mean, it was just. I mean, just being depressed. I mean, Rain was depressed. He was never, because, you know, he's always used to, he was depressed. I'm coming home to a depressed husband. He didn't have no joy. I was depressed. We're broke. I mean, the whole thing was a mess. I mean, I couldn't say there was one thing that, you know, was a breaking point. But what it was, actually, there was. I was so miserable. I was so miserable. And, you know, I heard this one person, misery was a sign of rebellion. And Pastor Skills actually was a breaking point. He said, Jesus, you're just rebellious, you know. You just don't submit to authority. That's why you're broke, why you're miserable, you know. This is why your marriage, you're not happy, because you're rebellious. And that really, and then he would say, Jesus, you just need to go and lock yourself until God shows up, you know. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this. And the breaking point was I was miserable and broke. I hate being broke. And I knew that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and has no sorrow. And I'm over here as sorrow. I'm depressed. So I took the words that Pastor said and said, okay, Lord, huh?
Before you go into that, you said that you came into the marriage with a lot of debt, and Rain didn't know it, right?
No, Rain didn't know it.
And God brought you out of
debt.
Tell us the debt you was in and then how God brought you out.
So one morning I wake up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get on my face and seek God. Well, I start seeking God, right? I hear a knock on the door at 6:30. It's the sheriff's office. A warrant for my arrest for all the outstanding debt I owed. Rain's like, what? What? What is this? I'm like, oh, I forgot to tell you, you know, because I didn't really think about telling him, but stupid. He never asked, which was his fault, but it was really my fault because I didn't tell him. So I tell him, like, dude, I got like $50,000 in credit card debt, dude. And I got all this debt. And he's like, what? So that's what made him go into a depression. But then, literally, right after that, this lady, some lady called from the, because he was calling, he was doing something like getting, I don't know. He got fined from the state because he was claiming unemployment that wasn't really unemployment. So he got fined for $8,000 right after he judged me. So now we're in complete debt. You know, just depressed and debt. We're on food stamps. We're miserable. You know, I'm coming from rich. I'm like, this is not a blessed marriage. You know, this is not a blessed marriage. Well, I didn't know what a blessed marriage was. A blessed marriage is when there's peace and there's joy in the home, man, and right, it's just there's no strife and no devils. That's really complete joy and peace in the home. Well, this is right, not, you know, blessed. And so I was just like, man, I'm just ready to just fly away and never come back again. Anyway, that was when I was just, we were so broke and depressed, and that's when that's kind of what led me to cry out to God, to ask, Lord, what is wrong with me? And that's when he told me, you're a rebellious woman. You want your way. You're all about you, and you're nasty. And I was like in the flesh, you know, and I just cried out to God to set me free, and whatever I need to do. And that's what happened, you know. And he told me to start speaking that I'm a submissive wife, and I do everything my husband says with joy. And I was like, what? No, that can't be it. Man, this is a mess. We are in a mess. You can't just tell me this is the answer. Just speak this, and I'm going to, you know. Lord, he wanted me to start releasing my faith over my marriage and really calling me and being as that I was, you know, calling me out who I really was already made. And, yes, man, that took me a few minutes to get those words out, but I started speaking those words out, Brother Eric, and dude, Jesus began, the Holy Spirit began to work with those words and began to bring that to pass in my marriage.
What did the Lord tell you to do to get out of debt?
Well, so here's what happened. So I started speaking those words, and God began to work with those words, and I would just tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet with you, shut up, don't say that, stop whining, stop wanting your way. Stop asking them, you know, getting in these pity parties. Where's my roses? And it's all about me. So I started cooperating with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And pastor said, well, if you're broke, if there's a problem, if you don't have money, go ask Jesus. And I was like, wow, that's simple. So I would just petition the Lord, why are we in debt? Why are we in debt? And he told me one day, he said, Virginia, you're in debt because your reliance and your trust and your hope is hooked up to your credit limit. And now, it's not bad to have credit cards if the Lord leads you to have them for points and ministry and all that. But for me, my hope and my joy was hooked up to the credit limit because, we were making some money here and there, but I just still had a peace and a joy that we had a credit limit, and that was something I could rely on. The Lord said, I don't want your reliance on your credit limit. I won't want your reliance on anything but me, as he spoke to me specifically. And I called and told Rain, and Rain said, no way. And then he came back in. He said, that's the Lord. He finally humbled himself. And, dude, we cut those credit cards up. And God said, I want you to start being thankful for every nickel and dime that comes in and write it down. And so I started writing it down, nickel and dime, every single thing that came into our hands. And I started praising God. And that literally within 2 weeks, I mean, not even from our church, not even from my family, no, and spoke to them. The Lord spoke to us. They invited us over to the house to give you this check. And, dude, it was a $25,000 check to pay her debt off, dude. And then it was a $25,000 check. I started crying. And Rain, at this time, he already knew. He's like, man, God's just going to start delivering us from debt. So he was happy, but he kind of already knew. So that was a huge faith booster. And that's really when, you know, God started funneling the money through my business. And just God started just completely paying our debt off, you know. And we're debt-free, you know. It was just supernatural. And then he started increasing my business, you know. And it was just powerful.
And so you come into marriage and you said you don't know how to submit to authority, you're rebellious, you're selfish, and not on top of that, you're full of debt and y'all broke and you said food stamps and all kind of stuff. And the Lord completely changes everything around. How is marriage now and how is the finances now?
Marriage is blessed now, you know. And one thing real quick is the end of 2012, Pastor Scales said, look, if you would just worship me 10 minutes a day, you won't believe where you'll be in a year. And dude, the Holy Spirit helped me catch that in the spirit. And did I, every morning, still to this day, I get up and worship him. I don't, you know, there, if I miss it or if I start getting, okay, Lord, shut up, Flash. You're going in there and worshiping the Lord because he's worthy. He saved me from a burning hell. I mean, there's nobody else, worthy. So I just worship him every day. And just the Holy Spirit just guide me and lead me. And then the Holy Spirit would be just lead me to real estate deals. I'd be at the gas station, moving $700,000 deal, $1 million deal, this deal, that deal, just supernatural deals just coming out of the woodwork just by obeying the voice of the Spirit, by worshiping and submitting to my husband. Even if I missed it, but I repent. Lord, forgive me. Teach me not to be like that. Teach me not to want my way. You know, when the devil starts speaking to me, what is your husband doing for you? That's how he gets so many women that they don't know. How do I get money? They're constantly thinking about themselves rather than thinking about how can I live this love towards my husband. You know, and then they want this house. And they never get it because they don't just let him love them and then live that love towards their spouse, not wanting anything in return. And this is where I really began to change, you know, and my husband has his testimony, how he got touched. But marriage is blessed now. My business is blessed. We're prosperous on every side. We got joy and peace. You know, I'm not saying like everything goes right every single day. You've got to run to Jesus, let him love you in there with the Lord and just let him have his way in your life and stop wanting so much. You know, this is a big issue with women. They want, but they're never looking to love. And they're tormented. I would never thought I would ever talk about submission. This is the last thing, but I see there's so much power in submitting to authority, to your pastor and to your husband.
Wow.
You know, and letting the Lord have his way, not wanting your way, not wanting money, not wanting the things of this nasty, crusty world that are going to expire. It's like a gallon of milk. It has an expiration date. You know, eternity's forever.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Come on.
I know, my time's up.
No,
but
I extended.
I'm passionate about this, man, because this is, if so many women are, and even every day I've got to, Lord, search my heart. You know, you have to continue in this. The Lord, search my heart. Teach me how to be a submissive wife. Teach me how I can honor him above myself, you know, and lay my nasty, disgusting self on the cross because it's self. That's the problem with marriages. They're just thinking about themselves rather than looking to live this love. That's what Pastor said. You just look to live this love. As long as it's not looking to get, it's looking to give.
What's the first step if there's a wife out there who is selfish and her marriage is going through it and she doesn't submit to her husband and she's depressed and she's always thinking about herself? What's the first step that she needs to take?
She needs to lock herself in the closet with the Lord and get real and get honest. I mean, until you're honest with Jesus, you're depressed. That's what I did. I mean, I said, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest because you already know everything. I cannot stand this man. I don't want to submit to him. I don't know how to submit to him. I'm just a mess. And then I said, but Lord, I'm willing to let you change me because I know, God, that your word says this. You love you. I ask you to help me. Show me. What can I do? What do I do? And that's when he came and set me free, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start speaking my word. Until you're tired, man, until people are really tired of being the way they are in their marriage, they're not going to get free. You've got to be honest and humble. I mean, God told me honesty and humility are the keys for victory, man, in your life, in your marriage. I mean, his love. You've got to get, like Pastor taught this, you know. You've got to be honest. You can't cover your – the Bible says if you cover your sins, you won't prosper. And that always helps me because my husband always said, well, he said, you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. You know, I'm like, well, thank God, Lord, you know, if there's any sin in my life. Even this morning, every day, Lord, show me. If there's anything in my life that doesn't please you, I like you. But for a woman out there that's miserable, you just get your sin. You know what? There's one minister that said, he had all this stuff on his mind. You minister, da, da, da. And the Lord spoke to him, hey, if you get your mind off yourself, then you'll soar. And self is the biggest problem because you're thinking about yourself. And if you get your mind off you, you have no problems. You know? If you get your mind off you, you'll have no problems. You just get your mind on him. Lock yourself in there. Get honest with God. Let him come in, set you free, heal you, deliver you. Get honest, man. Let his love come and, you know, just drop a bomb on you. Man, if you
why don't you, can you pray for women and people in general who are really selfish, who are depressed, selfish, and just self-centered, and pray that they'll get grace to be honest, because sometimes people seem like they have a blockage where they can't humble themselves and be honest. So can you pray for them?
Yes. Okay, I will pray for them. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so awesome, Lord, and you love us, Lord. You love us to be free, God. Lord, if there's people listening right now that are bound by themselves, God, they want to do what they want, Lord, I just thank you for your love coming and manifesting to them right now in the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you, God, that it's all about you, Lord. It's not about us.
Yes.
And so, Father, I just thank you right now, God, that your love, that you would just grant for grace to repent, God, that true repentance
yes.
would come, Father, from their heart, God, and that they would truly get hungry and desperate, Father, for your love, God, to be all you called. Lord, life is short, God. And, Lord, we don't have many days left on this earth. And so, Lord, I just thank you for women out there, God, and men, and women that are selfish and consumers themselves and wanting their way and are bound, Lord Jesus, to them nasty, their bank accounts and what things look like and feel like, God. I just thank you right now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go now
thank
and
you.
Minister your love to them, Lord, and that they would truly come to honesty and brokenness before you, God, knowing that you are everything, God, that you love them, God, and it's your desire and your delight to prosper them and bless them, God, so they could be a blessing to their husbands and to their children, God, and that you would just open the floodgates of heaven and just pour out your love, God, and that you would just soften their hearts to really get honest before you, God, that they're selfish, they're carnal, they're miserable, they're depressed, but, Lord, you can come, Lord, and change them by your Spirit. In
yes.
Jesus' name, we thank you that there'll be fruit, God, of repentance, Father, and that they'll turn from their ways to follow the living God, and that your words would consume them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey.
Praise God. I'm passionate about this, man, because I spent years depressed and miserable. You can tell, right? And I'm thankful, dude. I mean, it's just damn thankful. My business, I mean, I don't try to go get deals. I mean, they toiled all night. They couldn't catch nothing. I mean, I just sit back and wait and let them show me what to do, you know? I'm not out there running around like the pagans with the chicken without my head. Nope, I'm working on the next real estate deal. Nope, I'm just going to sit here and worship God, praise his holy name, and just let him add it to me. And then he said, go there, do this, boom, and it works, rather than trying to get money and run after money like the pagans. Praise God. I know our time's up.
Yeah, we can. I can just see the grace of God is all over you, man. I mean, it's like I've seen people get into real estate, close people, close
mm-hmm.
friends of mine, and they went little to nowhere. And when you got in it, you just saw it. You could tell it's the grace of God on your life. And,
trying to be nothing. I'm not trying to get no deals. I don't care. I said, God, if you don't bring me deals, they don't get done. If you don't sell it, they don't get sold, baby. But, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and let, because I have a heart thing for the gospel to get the message of Pastor Skiff's message he's got out and to do what he tells me to do. Broke can't help the poor. Can't help the poor. Can't help the poor. I ain't going to help poor when you're broke. Can't help nobody.
That's right. Real quick, D, if somebody does need their property or business or household or something, how can they reach you?
Just call me, praise God, 615-579-9092. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory
thank
God.
You so much. You've kept it 100 the whole time. And I know the spirit, when people can be honest about their past, I know it's because Jesus has set them free. He's living a life of victory. And so
yes,
I thank you so
free.
Much for being you,
I love you, brother. You have a blessing. Glory to God, man. I love you. I'm going to call somebody up and start preach to hallelujah. Man, you stir me up today.
Yeah, call Marquis again. No.
I love that girl, man. She's actually, you know what? I'm going to call her. Praise God. I love you.
I love you, too. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. He brought me out with the shout number 3 with Miss Gigi Arlett. This show is brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. Please visit the website today. And any last words?
Oh, man, just stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let him love you, man. Just get over your stinking self and just get on your face and cry out for his glory and his presence to come saturate you and fill you with the fire of the Holy Ghost so you go out and set people free. Praise God. Goodbye. Hallelujah.
Amen. This is Joy Broadcast. God bless you. We are out.
Praise God.